Hey, thanks. Hi, everyone. Thank you for choosing this session. I don't know, instead of you could stay at the beach. Thank you. My name is Adam Novak, and I work for a little Swiss web agency called InnoRail. We have something like 7 people, and we are 3 in Hungary. We have a little team here, that's the icing of the cake for me. And we work mostly for clients in the French part of Switzerland. We will talk about back-end performance. We will work actually, because it's a workshop, but just a little introduction. The backend, it's more obvious. We can think about the LAMP stack or the LNMP stack or whatever. We can think about Drupal when we talk about backend. But what about the performance? You should not confuse performance with scalability. Scalability is like when you have hundreds and millions of visitors and you need to deal with a huge amount of traffic. But with performance, it's just like, is it snappy enough for the visitor? It's like an experience for the visitor if the site is fast enough. And I would like to recommend you this blog post, which is linked on the site, on the slide. And it's quite an old blog post, but I think it's quite relevant when we talk about performance. Because this explains that when you start a new project, even the back-end developer should participate in the design process. Because many, many things can go wrong at the design process with bloated structures and pages, and so trivial things when the browser has too many things to download and things like that, the performance will definitely suffer, and especially on mobile. So read this article, it has very good points, and consider it. Of course, when you receive a legacy project for maintenance, that's not really the case when you can implement what's written in this blog post. So, the task, because it's a workshop, we have a task, we have a GitHub repository. I hope some of you saw my tweet from last evening, and you could clone the repository. Last evening the repository was empty, until midnight it was empty, and now it has a wiki page, and at the wiki page you have the tasks, and the site itself is in the repository. It's an imaginary wine shop based on Drupal Commerce, based on Drupal 7 them, and the site is very slow. You will see it actually. So your task is first to install this site on the local machine. And the only reason, this is a full copy of the site with database lamp and everything, and I'm not sure. I know that there are some commerce experts at the attendees, but the thing is that I don't think that you can put commerce products into features. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not really possible to prepare a full-blown site with commerce products inside into an installation profile. Maybe there are some ways to do, but yeah, we have the full site and it's just easy to create. You create a database, you load the dump, and you are ready. Hopefully your machine is fast enough even to render the site, because it has huge problems. And yeah, it's previously maintained by Drupal head devs, and that's why it's problematic. Otherwise, yeah, we can think about it as a legacy project, what we received from another company. And the other repository contains several tools that we will use. So I suggest you to turn on your laptop and start the work and make the site up and running. And in the meantime, I would like to tell you a few words about the measurement. Because I would like to share it from my personal experience. So when you receive a task, which is related to performance, it's very critical that you do measurement from the very beginning. It's very tempting to act immediately. Okay, I know that this can be problematic, I change it, and after that you do several changes, and That's not the way to go. You need to measure first, and you need to measure it, measure after every incremental little change. There are several reasons for that. First, you need to prove to yourself what kind of improvements could you do. Maybe you need to prove it to your boss or not. Maybe you are in the position to report to, but then maybe you need to prove to your client that you did a good job, and maybe the client would like to know that why the site is slow. And I think it's often the case. And then when you do measurements in all the steps, you can point out that, okay, when I did this, the request per second changed like this and things like that. So measurement is the key. And if you do measurement with some tools and you have some textual data, it's not really helpful. And I would like to also raise the importance for the visualization of the measurement results. So, a few words about our tools. Apache Bench is just a benchmarking tool for HTTP requests. The Apache Foundation maintains it, but the thing is that, of course, it's not really a web server dependent tool. So for Nginx side, it works perfectly. I talked about the visualization. The AIR project is a general purpose statistical package. It's widely used by computer scientists and other kind of research guys. And it's also very useful for us because Apache Bench has a functionality to generate chart with GNU plot right up from the data, but then you don't have the chance to manipulate the data. Like for example, because Apache Bench provides you the basic data as a request per second, how many requests your web server, your website can serve. But then maybe you want to visualize something else, maybe the distribution of the request per second, or maybe you want to calculate the logarithmic of the request per second because of the nature of the data, and it would be more meaningful. Okay, let's talk about the profiler. We have this XDebug profiler, what I would like to recommend you to use during this workshop, but it's not the only profiler. XDebug is very powerful, but has a huge overhead on the execution time. And there are some alternatives like XHProf, which is more lightweight, but of course there is a trade-off as usual. XHProf provides a less detailed output. But now we will go with XDebug. But the result of XDebug is not really human readable. It's a text file. I opened it once, but I don't want to really read XDebug, raw XDebug files. So the last tool is just for that, to open your XDebug profile and see what's going on. It's a very handy tool. On the task page, if you open it at the wiki page, I explained that for Mac users, there are several options. Maybe you already know that, but instead of K cachegrind, there is a Q cachegrind tool, what does not depend on the work KDE environment, and it's easier to install. And I'm not really familiar with Mac environment, maybe there are some other neat tools to visualize the output of the profile. So these are the tools that are needed. And yeah, it's a workshop, so I'm going to shut down Prezi and switch to console. I hope many of you already started to install the site. How many of you already started at least the installation? Not too many people, so please participate in the workshop. So let's start the journey. We have the task. I just show you the wiki page. We have this repository at github.aronnovak/drupalatomvine-store, and at the side it seems GitHub received a redesign recently, and at the wiki page we have the performance analysis of Drupal sites, and we have this installation phase to install the tools, and after that we have several tasks. On this machine these tools are already installed, and I don't want to lose time on just installing, and I don't want to steal the bandwidth from you because you would like to install these tools to be able to participate, and that's it. So, but I moved to the first task now to benchmark the profiler, because I talked about that Xdebug has a huge impact on the execution time, but at least we should have a little, we should have a wild guess about this effect. I'm gonna change the configuration for Xdebug. I don't know why I can't type passwords, but I can type every time except the screen is on air. Anyways, I added the VNU install Xdebug. Of course, these paths depends on your distribution, but here is the configuration file for Xdebug. It's a PHP extension, and that's what you can see. Xdebug is a general purpose PHP debugger, but yeah, we have the profiler part, and what we can do simply is to always enable it. And then we are ready. And I don't want to do anything with Drupal, I just want to measure the effect of the, I would like to generate the brush help. That's just a command line application, and I know the the commands more or less, so I don't care about the output, and I execute it. What's going on? I execute it, and it took more than 2 seconds to generate the drush help. Well, the machine is not so slow. I restore back the configuration, and then I disable it. I do it again, and it's something like half a second. So that's it. So never ever try to use it in production to collect a massive amount of data. The only exception is you will see that Xdebug has a mode to trigger it only when you have a special keyword in the pass. Then it can be legitimate to use it in a production site, but usually it's a very good tool to use it on your local machine. Usually it's powerful enough to deal with this overhead. So after this little test to see the behavior of Xdebug, let's start to examine the site itself. I need to install the site also at this computer. The only exception that I'm not going to clone it from GitHub, but I clone it from the local machine, and you still have bandwidth to do this. So I go to the document root and I clone the repository from the workshop directory, and that's it. You can clone it from GitHub, and it's ready. And I need to load the dump as well. It's called vine store. Of course, this repository contains a settings.php. You should edit it. And I load the dump. Just the boring use your stuff, sorry, we will do something much more exciting very soon. Waiting. Oh, it's ready. Then the only thing I have to do is to change the owner of the files directory. If you run your web server in your own user, you don't have to do this. It's the Apache user, the size default, the raw files directory should be owned by Apache. And then maybe you do have to do some additional steps. My local environment is configured like this, that if I put a directory there, it's already available at this address. So I don't have to mess with the Apache config to, what's this? The DNS again, but I don't really get why. Maybe I was connected to another access point. the side. I was connected to back, and that was configured, and somehow my DNS configuration was messed. Just a second. Sorry, just a second. Then you will have a little time to proceed with the installation while I cope with this stuff. Sorry. Okay, and unfortunately Chromium needs a restart to recognize these settings, and hopefully I can simply load the site. Exactly. So that's Divine Shop. We have several types of Hungarian wines, and you can look around. The only thing is that the order process does not work, so you can find several good wine shops in Castle, and do not try to do the other order process. We have wines here listed, and well, it's not really designed, the backend is more close to me. We have some mostly product block, most common purchases, some kind of product pairs, and things like that. And we have not so huge, but we have some products in the shop. That's it. Let's try out the measurement. Sorry. Just a second. My usual, well, when I load the dump, I don't really know actually, because I had the cookie, but what you can do is just to dash SQL sanities. Sanity's password, no password, and whatever, and that's it. That's what I recommend. Honestly, I'm not totally sure what's the password. Well, I know because I re-log in, but that's it. That's the easiest way to just use this command after you loaded the dump. Or anyways, if you don't want to do this, you can get a one-time link from Bash. Okay, I'm logged in, but that does not make a big difference. So, what I would like to do now is to try out the tools I prepared for the workshop. I clone it again from localhost. It's a Drupalaton Vinestorm measurement. Ready. I show you the GitHub repository just in for... Here is the repository. The repository has a little description inside, and it has two shell scripts. And that's it. And an R script. That's why I recommend to install this R package, because it has a script for that, for the visualization. I would like to share how this measure.sh works, because Apache Bench can trivially benchmark your Drupal site, and it has nothing to do with Drupal by itself. But the problem is that it can measure the site as anonymous user. You can do nasty tricks like login to Drupal in the browser, get the cookie data, you can copy paste, you can paste it in the command line to Apache Benchmark, because Apache Bench is able to pass a cookie, but then it's not so nice. The only thing this script helps you, that it via Drush, it can grab the cookie automatically and pass it to Apache Benchmark. And that's the added value, more or less, that's the added value of this little script what I created only for this session, that it can grab the session cookie automatically if you would like to benchmark your site using a logged in user. I did not mention in the beginning, but that most of our users, most of our clients, we maintain sites like intranets or web shops where every single user is logged in, or almost every user. So that's why I really care about the logged in performance, because that's the situation where I am mostly. So we have this little script. If you don't specify the user switch, it just calls Apache Benchmark with some parameters, and it saves the data. If it's anonymous, but if it's not anonymous, it creates a temporary file for cookie. It calls VJET with Drush included, with the backtick operator, and then it saves the cookie and it passes it to Apache Benchmark and it cleans up the temporary file. That's it. It's simple and nothing special. A little addition for the site. Of course, it's just a one-time garbage for this workshop. But if you have any idea for this repository, the pull requests are highly welcome. If you see anything with the scripts or things like that, I would really appreciate if you have any good ideas for that. Okay, we see this measure SH, and let's try it out. For this wine store site, the page cache is not enabled. So if I measure it with anonymous or admin, it's almost the same. So I provide a link for the script, like drupalatonwinestore.local, and I start the measurement. It invokes Apache Benchmark. And it's slow, so we really need to be patient. Let's drink a little bit. In the meantime, it's ready. And the request per second is very low. Yeah. It was actually a long process to make it so slow. It's not so easy. Drupal is not super fast, not like this, of course. So we have a little problem on this side. I run this script again, just to see that's not something weird with the measurement. Few more seconds, and then we will that's ready. Almost the same. Okay, so let's try out, and I create a directory where there's the anonymous result. I won't do it with logged in users. You can try it out, but I think it's better to proceed. We have this visualize.sh, but we create a little chart for me. Here it is. We see that x-axis you see the Unix timestamps, at the y-axis you see the page load time provided by Apache Bench. And this little error script collects all the dat files and it puts in chronological order. So I will show you the source code just in case. It's for Drupalathon and things like that. It reads all the dat files and it orders it chronologically, and it opens a PNG file. You can mess with the dimensions and it draws the needed columns on the different axes. That's it, nothing special. We understand that how these tools work together. Then it's really time to use the profiler. As you saw already, you can use the always-on mode, you can enable it by default, and it will create a profile for every single page request. And it can be very useful, actually, if you would like to debug complex situations, like AJAX requests or any kind of special situation where it's not really easy to trigger the profiler. But now I'm going to create a profile from the Wine Store's homepage as admin user, and we will examine the profiler with kcachgrind. And first we will have a little introduction that how kcachgrind works, or qcachgrind for the Mac users or something else. Okay, then what we need to do to switch to the browser, we have the homepage, and I just pass the trigger string like this. And before I do this, sorry, maybe I should have shown you already that I don't know why I don't have a root console open somewhere else, yeah, but what I would like to show you is this line. Oh no, I don't want to highlight it. This line, because by default, at least on my Fedora installation, when I don't have this, the profiles are put in the temp directory, in a subdirectory, and it's complicated, and maybe you don't. So the best is to just provide a full pass URL and you will find your profile where you want. This directory is currently empty at my computer, that's what I wanted to show. And the trigger word works because of this line, because we enable the trigger mode for the EasyGuard profiler. So now it's really time to generate the profile. Yeah, let's double check if this debug directory is really... No, it's not empty. But anyways, now I can generate the profile. It takes even longer than usual. We have the debug, the profile file. Here we are. We have the, oh, let's see. Yeah, that's quite visible on the screen. That's right, cool. So let's talk a few words about the interface. We have this big table with several columns. We have the included, the self, code, function, and location columns. Some of them are obvious, some of them are not really. The first two columns are some kind of measured, the elapsed time, measured time. It's millionths of a second, that's the unit for these columns. But there is a huge difference between included and the self. I would like to explain you by an example. Let's say that we have a function that calculates prime numbers from, I don't know, 1 to 100 million, something like this, and it takes a lot of time to execute. If you create a profile of such function called nothing else in the PHP, then you will see that function has a huge self time and a huge included time as well. But if you create a wrapper function, what does nothing but just to include this prime calculation function, and you cause it, you call it from the main PHP area, and the prime calculation function is called via this wrapper function, and you create a profile, what you will see that the wrapper function will have a huge included value and an almost zero self value, and the prime calculation function will have the same values at the beginning, same value for included and self, and it will be high, of course. And the explanation for this example is that the self value is that PHP spans inside that particular function, and the included is included, yeah, as the name suggests, it includes all the functions that given function calls, and this inclusion is of course recursive, and that's the explanation for these two. And that's very important to understand this difference, because that's how you can evaluate the data here. And we have the code column, which is more obvious. It's just the number of that's how many times that function called, and the other is just the name of the function and where this function is inside the code base. We have some other stuff. We have the relative button here. It's just instead of displaying exact times, it shows it in percentage. And the cycle detection is another exciting thing. The best is to keep it turned off, because, for example, when you have three functions A, B, C, and the A function calls the B function, then the B function calls the A function, and the A function calls the C function, it detects the cycle, because what is the profile? The profile is a core graph. You have the functions as the verticals of the graph, and the edges when the one function calls the other function. And there is a cycle in the graph, then kcachegreen detects for you, and just creates like cycle detected entry, and it basically makes your profile non-readable. It's very hard. And even the documentation of KCashedIn says that cycle detection is not really useful for graphical user interface application, but it pretty much applies for Drupal too. So that's about it. Just keep it turned off. I had some cases when I prepared to this workshop, and I took a look on the profile, and I did not see what I wanted to see, because I know that that's in the profile, but why I don't see, and I turned off the cycle detection, and that was obviously there in the profile. That's it. And some other stuff. We have a right sidebar in the application. For example, let's choose this, like the theme function. We have these types. Now we profile time. But these types is about the types of resources. We can profile many other things like CPU usage, memory, maybe network. So we can profile many, many types of resources. Now it's just only about type, and that's why this tab is not really meaningful for us. We have these callers. These are those functions that call this theme function directly from the code. And it can be handy, actually, for debugging. And we have the OR callers, which is a little bit different. It means that it lists all the ancestors of the function in the core graph. So when the theme function, of course, the theme function is called by some other function, but those other functions are called by another function, and recursively, things like that. And those functions are listed here, and you can see it even in the distance column. So yeah, if you have a little familiarity with the graph theory, and it's easier to guess what's this, and we have the number of how many times this function is called. Cool. And we have this map. Honestly, I don't think it's useful. It's something like an eye candy. I don't know. It's a little bit funny that your Drupal execution profile at a glance. That's it. So then I hope it's more or less clear. Then let's take a look why the site is slow, because that's why we are here. I will order this table based on the self column. Oh, what's this? We have this, so the biggest one is this DOM document load HTML file. There's something wrong. Let's take a look on it. Then we have this, it's not meaningful, but what about the callers? Oh, it's called from the commerce product module with a strangely named function. That's not so great. Then it's something to fix. We are going to eliminate it quickly, at least just to not interfere with the execution, and then we can measure it again and continue the profiling. So what I'm going to do is to create, I would like to show you this piece of code. I go to the repository, Drupal.ton Vine Store. Oh no, we don't know where this commerce product module is, so I can simply find it, product.module. We have this module, and I search for it because it remembers the position. Okay, I search for the synchronize function, and here it is. It's an external resource. It's not really surprising that it takes a lot of time, and it processes it by XPath, and then it checks if the product already exists or not. And it creates with a spread. And the spread is not so small. So this shop is not so cheap, actually. Anyways, and we have some helper functions for this. And it's in the init hook. Then it makes every single page request slow. That's cool. What we can do to... I'm going to create very quickly a separate module for this. In the profiles, Drupalathon Vine Store modules custom, and we can call it Drupalathon Vine Sync. Cool. I have module directory, and I create some new files, profiles, Drupal.vice.store modules, custom, Drupal.vicing, and I create the info file first. You can skip it if you want, if you would like to just delete these lines, I don't care, but I just do this, oh no, it's the info file, I can name it, Vicing, we need to give the core compatibility, we can, and then because it was in commerce product module, it's not a bad idea to give it a dependency, and the description can be like refactor it as a feeds importer, whatever that's the case. The info file is not complete, but something like this. Okay, we can save it, and we can create, oh no, let's go back to this one, and delete it from here. Yeah. We can save this cleaned up module, and we can just create the module file at 2. Of course, we won't execute it from the hook, the init hook, but instead if we use a cron hook, then it won't slow down all our executions. Modules, custom, Drupal.vicing. Just a second, we will be ready with this, and we are going to examine the site further. Drupal.vicing module, exactly. That's it. And it's not commerce product in it, instead of it's Drupal.on line sync cron, and yeah, so implement cron, cool, that's it, and we can save it simply, that's it, let's enable this module. Drupal.on Vicing. There is an error. Let's see if it works in the browser or not. No, it doesn't work. So, I'm not sure how many of you follow the things, but maybe some of you have a guess what's going wrong? No. Then, I suggest you to create another profile, because normally this PHP installation would print an error message at the browser, so yeah, we don't really know what's going wrong. Let's create another profile, because we will see that the profile is quite, sometimes it's very handy for debugging. Yeah, we have a profile, it's ready. We can go to the debug. The thing is that those are not really meaningful. It's some kind of process ID in the file name. So what I usually do is just to see the date of the file, and then you have a guess. Or you can somehow sort it by date. Honestly, I'm not exactly sure about the switch.
Can you specify a new pattern?
Yeah, you can specify the pattern. Thank you. That's a good suggestion. And I opened a more recent one. And that's it. We can order it by self, and we have a sidecheck boot module. Let's take a look on this module. What's going on here? What takes the most of the time only to generate this white screen of that? That's HTML Drupal.on Vicestore. We don't know where this module is, so we can sidecheck. Okay. It recurs through the war profiles directory using directory iterator. It filters for all the dot module files. It calculates a hash, sorts, and it hashes again, and it checks against the settings.php. Well, that's it can have a purpose actually to prevent the client to mess with the site, but we can use the git to actually keep the integrity of the site. So let's just simply disable this module. Well, if you would follow it, of course, drush disable does not work because the site is broken. What we can do simply Either we can edit the sidecheck module, or we can, oh, that's what I will do. You could disable, you can do this, and then you are able to disable simply this module. Then hopefully the site will work now. And that's it. It's not very fast, but still we have a step further. Okay. I told you that we do a measurement at every incremental change, and I will do the same now. We have this Drupal.com measurement. I have it in the history. Yes, so I'm lazy and measure it again. The only thing that it can be misleading now that Drupal executes the cron not only when you call the cron.php, and the request per second is higher, definitely higher. I run this script again and we will draw the chart very soon. There is a benchmarking one more. Yeah, we can move these get files to the anon and we can generate the png file. That's what we see. It's obvious, I see. Somewhat. Yeah, the execution time's there. That's an improvement. But if you consider that it's something between 1 and 2 seconds, that's not really good, actually. So we still have things to eliminate from the code base. Let's profile it again. Then I just do it one more time. Yeah. And yeah, that's the most recent. Okay, I close this one. We have this new profile. I ordered it by self first. And we see that the database statements consume the most of the time. And I think, it's more or less normal. I saw many sites where the database statements need the most of the time, and it's not so surprising. Usually Drupal is database bottlenecked. But the site is very slow, so we can't say that, oh, it's now the database and we are ready. No, not really. What we can do then, let's sort it by the included. Exactly. We sort it by the included. And let's try to see what's going on. We see at the top the main, the index.php. It calls everything, so it's not surprising. We see some theme functions, the panels, C2s, and views. It's not very suspicious. There is a panel in the home page, we have views. Why these are so slow, it's not so clear, but it's not very suspicious. But we have a rules actions. It takes more than 1 second to evaluate the rules. Well, let's try with this one, why not? We can check what kind of rules are there, and if, I don't know, we can play with it, disable one by one, benchmark it. We will see if we have some nasty rules on the site. We can go to the configuration. If you know it by heart, you can just type it in the browser. Okay, we have default commerce rules. I don't want to test it one by one. No, commerce rules won't do that. So we can skip that. We have a custom and overwritten rule. We have a rule name called stat, like statistics, and we have night discount. Now, night discount, that's exciting. It's something like the plane companies do. But now it's in a wine shop. Anyways, we have these two rules. Oh, no. And we can, I suggest that we just utilize Apache Bench alone, like Drupal.com winestore.local before they disable it. Yeah, that's the request per second. And I'm going to disable this first custom rule. That's ready. Let's do it again. And again, maybe some kind of cash issue. Oh yes, that's much bigger request per second value. That's a good sign. Let's take a look inside this rule. When a commerce product is viewed and an entity has a field product counter, it calculates value and it says the entity in the new field. Well, that's not the most lightweight way to store some kind of statistics for the commerce product. Yeah, that's okay. Then we got rid of it. We can document and we can say that we need to refactor it and we need that amount of time to clean it up. All right. Then let's take a look in this night discount. I'm going to disable it. We can do the benchmark again. It's slow, but only because of the cache. Yeah, but it's pretty much the same. No, this rule is harmless, actually. So I disable it again. I enable it again. Yeah. Cool. So the night discount is active, and we propose to the client that we are going to refactor this to some kind of lightweight statistics. So let's do the benchmark and the chart again, of course. Then we can run our script. No, I don't want to type too much. It's faster with every change. Okay. We can simply move it to the Anon directory and create the chart. And the last one. And the numbers in the file names are Unix timestamps, of course. That's again. Yeah, this one is just when it generates some cache, and after we can see the trend on the chart. But we have plenty of time. So do it again. I mean the profile, and we will see what's the most problematic issue. Okay, let's go back to the site. And we can load this home page and create a profile. It's ready. There's the filename pattern. It was a pretty good idea, actually. I am going to change the configuration pretty soon, I think. And yeah, there's the latest. Yeah, if we order by included or self, it's the PDO statement execute. It doesn't help a lot. If it's ordered by self, we can sort by included. But honestly, I don't see anything suspicious. We see C2s, panels, and views. Let's take a look on the content of the panel at the home page, because the wall stuff is a panel, edit panel. We have a home page shop, most recent products, most popular, most common purchases, and an add this block. Oh, but wait, this is a custom block. What's this? An award block, yeah, with a long query. We don't want to refactor it now. Just a little tale about emptying a cache and things like that. If Panels has a great cache support, that's right. But yeah, now we will apply cache configuration for most of the blocks, most of the panels panes there. But I don't think that many clients accept this like this. Okay, I need to wait one day to see new product on the home page. No way, it's impossible. What you can do is to still use the cache for this, and there is a great module called cache actions. And with this, Yeah, you can use rules to do good things, not just like this to slow down your site. With cache actions, you can empty that specific cache entry that contains that the data for that particular view. You can drop it, and you can compose very sophisticated rules for this. Like when I view a product, which is newer than when I create a product, it's new. Okay, when I create a product, I can drop this view, but not the other one, and things like that. And it, of course, it's a for a big site, it's a very challenging job to compose all the rules that empty your cache, but it can be very powerful. So that's the point. It's not really the analysis part, of course, for the workshop, but I just wanted to point out that you can still use caching in a smart way that won't disturb the experience for the user. That's a good thing to know. Maybe there are some sites where it's almost impossible to cache because there is always new content, it always must be visible, but it's maybe not so frequent. So I think there are many sites where you can use cache actions module pretty smartly. And you use rules anyways for other purpose because it's a very handy module. And with rules and cache actions, you can do wonders and you don't have to have outdated data everywhere. So I'm going to configure some fixed cache times on those blocks. The most recent products, I just set it one day coherently for all these. Yeah, they can save. For the Evard block, especially, I don't want to edit. I don't want to see it again. I can simply change the caching for 1 hour. One day. And the most popular block is also something that we don't want to generate every time, especially if we have many products, not too many, but still, we can save. Cool. Then I'm going to save the panel. I execute it to fill the cache. I log out, and I think it's different for anonymous and logged in users, of course, and that's it. Then it's time to measure and visualize again. What we will do is to go there, call this little script two times. Oops. We can see the chart. Okay, we have this one. Now that's time to remember you that we generate this chart with R. Because if you consider that how you can evaluate the difference here. Not really. You can guess it's a little bit lower, but not really. But if you just use a logarithmic function on the whole chart, it's much more visible. So that's the point. Most of the time you are okay with a simple chart, but when you would like to show something more complex, when you have the full power of the R statistical package, it can be very handy. Maybe we can try, because it's very easy. Actually, learning R just to create such small scripts is very easy. So what I'm going to do to change this script and see if the chart will be easier to evaluate. Yeah, we have this, and the fifth column is the time, and we can use this log 10 like that. Logarithm with 10 days, and we can save the script. It wasn't hard, right? And we can run it again. Uh, And oh no, I don't know this, don't need this. And now it's, yeah, that's it. So if you take a look on the chart, it's the lowest values are more visibly lower than the previous run. That's it. We have this measurement, and there are some other traps on this in this Vine Store site. It's even possible to improve the performance, but I would like to show you something else. Because we know this, we generate a chart, we use a profiler, we improve the things. Of course, the improvements are not so quick usually. We know everything in advance, then it's not very challenging. But what I would like to show you, to create a profile for Drupal 7 and Drupal 8 and compare that. Okay, we know it's not ready, but still, I think it's fun to create a profile. Maybe if you did not want to spend the time to install this measurement Vine Store site on your local computer, maybe you can join. Why not? You can clone the Drupal 8 repository and kill the Wi-Fi network if you do the same. But yeah, if you have a empty Drupal 7 site and the Drupal 8 site, you can do this. I think many of you have this on your computer. So, and if you have a profiler, you can join at this point. You can try to join to the workshop and try out. So I'm not going to do it from the Git repository and with Drush site install, because yesterday evening I realized that Drupal 8 at the current status is installable via the web browser, but when I installed it on Drush, it did not work. Maybe I would need to clone a Drush from the repository, and maybe with this. I used an RC version from Drush, it did not work. So that's why I don't want to mess with the browser-based install. I have a fresh, totally empty standard Drupal 8 and Drupal 7 at my computer, and that's what I'm going to profile now. And you can do the same. And we will see about the request per second. And it's, of course, it's not exciting that Drupal 8 will be slower. It's not a surprise, as I can reveal it in advance. But the thing is that why? Yeah, it can be exciting that why Drupal 8 is slow, and where is the bottleneck for Drupal 8 and Drupal 7. Let's start. So maybe you can go to, you can clone the two repositories or just grab the package. And yeah, I will show you. I have an empty Drupal 7 site here. And then I have an empty Drupal 8 site here. It's totally empty. Just like you can log in, no nodes, nothing. So there is no logic. It's really what Drupal needs to maintain itself, and that's what we are going to measure. Okay, we can log into these sites. Yeah, also to the other one. And then yeah, let's clean the debug directory and it will be easier to find the profiles. That's it. And then we can call the profile for the Drupal 8 first and to Drupal 7 second. We have the two profiles. Yeah. Even the size of the profiles differ a lot, like 10 times. We can open the profiles. Okay. Let's order it by itself and included. That's the Drupal 7 site, and we can order it by itself and included. There's a Drupal 8 site. Oh no, okay, that's on the top. And here, that's on the top for the self. Okay, that's Drupal 8. Drupal 8 spends the most of the time in this particular function to the Symfonica last loader and the load class. Yeah, Symfony components and module load handler and some kind of other Symfony stuff. And for Drupal 7, at the top, we see the Drupal load and Drupal bootstrap full. That's not very surprising. And for an empty site, it's not really surprising that the PDO statement execute is not at the top. So we have this one and this one. We have the Symfony at the top. We will see how we can optimize it for the end of the development cycle for Drupal 8, but in itself it's not really meaningful, because if the site would contain some business logic, this overhead is maybe just a small percentage of the execution. What I would like to do still is to use the measurement tools to actually see the request per seconds for the two sites. Drupal 8 local. Then, 3 seconds, I execute it again. It's like this. I can do it like for the admin user. It does not change too much thing, but if the page cache is not turned on, it's not surprising. And we can do the same for the Drupal 7 site. Oh no, something went wrong. Okay, I deleted. Oh, because I'm not in the document root of the Drupal site. Then the previous measurement was not by logging user, because this measure for this measure SH, when you want to use it to measure the site with a logging user, you need to go to your document root of the Drupal site. Otherwise, the dash command won't work, and that's why it did not work here. So I can go to the Drupal 7 site first, and then I can execute this. No, because I just need to rewrite the... Okay, and we can execute it. It's like more than 7 requests per second. That's what Drupal Drupal 7 and Drupal 8. We can measure. Well, it's less than half. But as I told, it's not surprising that at such phase, without any kind of optimization, the site, the Drupal 7 site is much faster. We will see. I'm pretty sure that the guys will do a good job at optimization. Maybe it will be a little bit slower, but if you consider all the goodness what we will receive with Symfony, the whole object-oriented concept, it's not like, of course, it's not like blaming Drupal 8 that they got Symfony in core and it seems it slowed down everything. No, it's not like that. It's just to take a look on what a Drupal 8 installation does and things like that, and we will pretty much enjoy seeing the new techniques that Drupal 8 will introduce, and even this weekend you can learn a lot about it, what kind of fun we will have with Drupal 8. That's it, or what I originally planned to do with the measurements and all. And because maybe we have time, we have still time, we can return back to the wine store and take a look on the profile and see if we find anything suspicious and things like that. So maybe we can return to the, I can generate a profile again from the Drupalaton wine store site. Yeah, I'm still logged in. That's it. No. I can log in back. Oh, I can. Oh, I don't have a profile. Okay, now I have. Let's go back to this one. We can order by self. So files can directly not... it seems the MySQL cached everything in the memory and now it's not so slow. Files can directly with call as a Drupal system listing, it's needed. I don't think it's a very suspicious Drupal load. The theme, that's strange that the theme, just to generate theme stuff, it takes more than 1 second. That's something we need to solve. And one thing, we saw on the chart that the page load time is much lower than 1 second. And how it's possible that the theme function like this, it shows it's more than 1 second. Yeah, but when we do the profile, it's much slower. That's one point. And the other point, that the measurement is not perfect. You can read long, long blog posts on the internet that how the profiler can cheat on you. But mostly it's correct, so it's not like that you can't use the profiler tools, but sometimes, of course the measurement changes the behavior of the system, it's not new, but still it's good to know that the profilers are not perfect. But still we have something in the theme layer. We can go to the colors and maybe we can see something strange. We see that we have price formatter, we can build the, and we need to build entities, but and with the all colors maybe we discover something else. Let's order by distance. And it does not fit in the screen. My regular screen size, it fits in the screen and I don't have a scroll bar. Anyways, we have a custom theme actually, and this line actually shows that there is a TPL file what calls the theme function many times indirectly, and that's something suspicious actually. So let's take a look at the theme of the site. Profiles, the Proton Wine Store themes. We have the Corolla theme and we have the template.php. It's just a regular prepos HTML. That's a prepositions block. We don't see anything really custom in this function. And here is a template file. And we have two TPL files for views. Yeah, we can open it. That's what we see. That's why the rules could slow down the site, because of course when you have a field-based views, it won't render, won't trigger the view of the entity, and that was needed actually to kick off the view, kick off the rules. Sorry, and yeah, it still slows down a bit the stuff because it renders the entity for nothing. So we can delete this and create another profile. Yeah, sometimes yeah, the thing layer contains some nasty stuff that can also slow down those things. So we can delete it because it does not trigger the statistics anyways. Oh no, no, we don't need to delete this. We can actually delete the TPL files because we don't need these anymore. That's it. Yeah, I just drew a grass CSO. Here we are. And do the profile. Yeah, first just load the home page. And then do a profile. No, no, I don't want to do a profile. I want to do the measurement, sorry. We can go to the measurement directory. We can measure the Drupal at our site again. Once, twice. Here we are, and we have a new file. No, something is wrong. I think there are some other files. Yeah, when we measured, sorry, it messed up the anon directory when we measured other sites, but that's not so great. How I could get rid of this. But yeah, I think I know because we have these with the hyphen in the file name. Yeah, and then it will be okay again. I think so. Maybe I can delete everything after the PNG and I just keep the last two, okay? And I can visualize it again. And that's strange, it's maybe something with measurement or cache. We see that the most quick page render page load was quicker than the previous one, but the variety of the values it's a bit higher. So yeah, we could eliminate this from the team layer. So we start to approach the end of the session. In a nutshell, I just wanted to show you how you can deal with slow site, how you can measure, what kind of tools you can use to do the measurement. Of course, there are a couple of other tools, I think so, and yeah, you can write much smarter scripts to process your data, to visualize your data. But that's the basis, and you can you can use the profiler, you can use multiple types of profiler, as I said, the XHProf to remind you if you need a lightweight profiler and things like that. And speeding up the site, we talked about the analysis, speeding up the site and reminding you again for rules and cache actions, you can use these together. And if you would like to put the raw cache into the memory, you can use a memcache or the APC modules. Okay, you cache it, but if you cache it to the database, what's up? If you have a slow database or an overloaded database, you don't really have the things. So that's it. If you have any questions, or maybe I don't think many of you you work on the laptop to follow, but if you have any kind of impediments, problem to solve while working on a site, I'm happy to help in this. Or yes, any kind of questions are welcome, and thanks for your attention. So, any questions? Not really. So, thanks again. Ah, sorry.
Well, thank you for your nice presentation. Maybe one question. When you do performance testing on your local machine or laptop or whatever you use, is there any kind of guidelines you can advise us how it will behave on production size based on the hardware and setup of the production site?
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. So first, you can use the same tool, Apache Bench. You can use it for production, but it doesn't help you a lot. Well, it helps you because you have an impression on the performance, but for the production environment, it's more like a DevOps job. We talked about the backend performance, like the viewpoint from a backend developer. When it comes to production, it's pretty much a DevOps job. You need to take care of the I/O performance, CPU performance. You can use wide variety of tools like HD Palm to have an impression of the speed of the disk. At my personal experience, the most problematic thing is when you have a virtual private server with low I/O, and then you can't really do much. Okay, you can install Memcache or APC, you have plenty of memory usually, that's not a problem. Some is cheap, but they don't want to buy plenty of SSDs in a mirror. Then the I/O is slow and you can't do anything. Usually the site is slow, fast, but when it tries to access disk, it will be slow. So that's problematic. So for production, it's very important to really benchmark the hardware in advance and before you deploy the site, and you can defend yourself. Okay, with this kind of performance, the site won't be fast, that's pretty sure. And that's a challenge for production. And the other challenge is to measure it over the time. We had such a case where the performance was okay most of the time, but it dropped. So we created some kind of cron job to do automatic measurement and draw a chart. Okay, we have some kind of local low at this performance, and okay, that's the problem, and with this it's not suitable for the site. And that's the challenge for production, and that's problematic. And yeah, you can use the same tools, and in addition to these tools, you can use HD Palm, you can maybe that's the most crucial, and yeah, you can see the available memory with any kind of tool, and you can see if you can put everything in memory, for example, if you have enough memory for that. And that's my impression for deploying to production and measure the performance there.